Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Come. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God extends a universal invitation to the entire world, saying, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Isaiah 45:22. But people have to respond in saving faith. Matthew 7:21-23 says, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The terrifying thing is that these people thought they were saved, but they were self-deceived. This is crystal clear evidence that it is possible to have the wrong kind of faith. On one level, they clearly believed intellectually. They did all kinds of things in Jesus' name. But in reality, he was not their Lord. It's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. It must be real from the heart. Merely saying, Lord, Lord, is not indicative of saving faith, but rather reality is seen in the one who does the will of the Father. This is indicative of the right kind of faith. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16 is known as the most famous verse in the Bible. It clearly indicates the sole condition for salvation is to believe in Jesus. But it's always good to read the surrounding context. Verse 17 clearly shows that Jesus came to be the Savior. Verse 18 goes on to emphasize that a saving faith believes in the name of the only begotten Son of God, which is to say it believes in Jesus for who he is as God. John 3:18 puts the onus on personal responsibility, saying the singular reason why people are condemned is because they have, quote, not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is why people go to hell. It all comes down to the fact that they did not believe in Jesus for who he is as Lord God and Savior. One of the clearest qualifiers in the Bible of what a person must do to be saved is found in Acts 16:30-31. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. This is a lordship text. In a great earthquake, the prison had been shaken to its foundations in the context of Paul and Silas worshiping the Lord. The Philippian jailer was on the verge of suicide when Paul cried out for him not to harm himself. The jailer then ran in, trembling before Paul and Silas, and asked the ultimate question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The ultimate answer came back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the text goes on to say, they spoke the word of the Lord to him, verse 32. And then in verse 34, it says, he believed in God with all his household. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe in him as Lord God who is Savior, as illustrated in the story of the Philippian jailer. The last invitation of the Bible is found in Revelation 22:17, which says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. There's an urgency throughout the New Testament to come in saving faith to Christ. The challenge is put forth to, quote, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. No one can do it for you. Everyone must do their own believing, their own dying, and their own accounting. And so the Bible concludes with the impassioned plea for people to come. Salvation in Christ is available, but we must come. It's free, but we must come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Christ invites, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28. The invitation to come is extended to whoever. But people have to want to. They have to want it. They have to desire to come. And as they do, they find grace, all-sufficient grace freely bestowed. Christ promises, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." The book of Revelation is the conclusion of the whole matter that matters. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We read in Revelation 5, 9 through 14, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels round the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the four and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. The whole of heaven sings, Worthy is the Lamb. We sing his praises because he has redeemed us by his blood. We sing his praises because he has made us kings and priests to our God. We sing his praises because we shall reign on the earth. We sing his praises because worthy is he who sits on the throne and the Lamb to receive all the honor, worship, and praise that heaven has to offer. In Revelation 19, the scene is that of the Lord Jesus Christ preparing to come to earth in glorious triumph. Revelation 19:1, "And after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. All heaven is opened." Revelation 19:11. The glorious Christ emerges, and as he comes in power and glory, he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, "This is the sum, my brethren. Preach Christ, always and evermore. He is the whole gospel. His person, offices, and work must be our one great all-comprehending theme. The world needs to be taught of its Savior. Blessed is that ministry of which Christ is all." End of quote. For the believer who is a new man in Christ, it's all about Jesus. In Colossians 3:11, Paul says, "Christ is all and in all, the right kind of faith. It's all about Jesus." This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.